Well, when things like that happen, a lot of times, in fact, most times, you get a lot of different organizations that start going out trying to collect money to help out with disaster victims. One thing, if nothing else, one thing Americans always have been is very generous with their money when it comes to helping other folks out and donating to different causes and things. And I don't see that really ever changing. But, you know, there are some guidelines and things you ought to think about before you do donate your money, because the last thing you want to do is turn what should be a real positive, helping someone else out, into a real negative, seeing that money just disappear from some scam artist or some sham-looking organization that tries to look or sound kind of like a legitimate organization to get that money from you. And then, of course, they just take off with it. It never goes to the cause that you thought you were helping out. Well, there are a lot of different notes and things. I noticed the Iowa Attorney General's office had kind of a list of do's and don'ts with regard to, it's mostly don'ts, but things to watch out for when it comes to making charitable donations to help out some of the disaster victims. And one of those tips, first of all, if you're going to donate to any kind of a disaster relief fund or charitable organization that's going to help out, is pretty obvious. You'd like to donate to familiar charities, and these should be all the tried and true established disaster relief organizations. Some of those could be perhaps the American Red Cross or the Salvation Army, you know, those types of things. But as I mentioned up front, one of the things you want to make sure before you do that is to make absolutely certain that the name is not a sound-alike organization. Do the research first, because it's not uncommon to have different types of scam artists set up online opportunities for you to donate. And they might have an online website that sounds like it could be legitimate. It sounds maybe like the Red Cross or like the Salvation Army, those types of things. Check it out. Make sure it's legit before you go there, because once that money's gone, you know, you're not going to get it back. And the people that you thought you were helping are not going to get the assistance either. Also, if you donate online by credit card, well, then they've got that information too. So you don't know how well you'd like to see that happen. Also, you don't want to respond to unsolicited calls or emails. When was the last time you really honestly got a phone call or an email or something at home saying, hey, I'm representing this and there was just this tornado someplace, would you like to donate? I don't remember ever getting anything like that. I'm sure a lot of folks are the same. So if you receive any unsolicited emails, well, that's easy. You just delete it. Don't worry about it. Don't click on any of the links. And don't open any of the attachments. I know there's some people who aren't maybe quite as tech savvy as others and think as soon as the email gets downloaded, if you click it and look at it, that, oh my gosh, I've done something. Well, usually you haven't. You just don't want to click on any of the links that are in it. And if there are any attachments on it, you don't want to click and open up those either. Sometimes those can be all kinds of different types of phishing scams or different types of computer viruses. I don't know where these people grew up, and I don't know who their mothers and fathers were, but some of these people that just think it's fun just to go out and infect other people's computers and ruin other people's lives, it seems to happen a lot more these days because of all the technology that's in our lives. And it doesn't just have to be computers either. It could be those little iPods, iPads, different things. It can be your smartphones. If you carry one of those smartphones in your pocket, too, they can infect all kinds of different things. So it's best to make sure you're seeking out an organization through an internet search engine as opposed to just clicking on some link that you received. I guess basically what it amounts to is do your homework. Don't just grab the Cliff's Notes. Don't take somebody else's work and take it for granted. Do your own homework. And that's the next piece of advice, too, is to do your own homework by checking on the charity. You want to check with different organizations. There's one called CharityNavigator.org or the Better Business Bureau, BBB.org, or the Iowa Attorney General's Consumer Protection Division. You know, if there have been some complaints about different things, and likely there have on some of these because some of them have been around for a long time, those organizations who are looking for those types of donations or just really looking to steal your money, you may find out some information about that, so you don't make that mistake. And if you donate through a website, make sure that the transaction is secure. Well, how do I know that? You know, if you're not that tech savvy, how do you know that? Well, it's not that difficult, actually. When you are entering your credit card information, you should see an HTTPS. The HTTP is its Hypertext Transfer Protocol is what that stands for, if anybody really cares. But when the S is on the end of it, most websites are just HTTP. But when the S is on the end of it, that means it's secure. And that's what they use for a lot of these websites where you are going to transact money, or money's going to be trading hands on those. So you want to make sure that you're using those types of things. And oftentimes, too, down in the lower left-hand corner of the page, somewhere down close to the lower left-hand corner in the taskbar, you may see a little what looks like a padlock. If that padlock is flipped in the open position, like a regular padlock that you might have in your hand would be, well, then that means it's unsecure. If it's in the lock position, that means it's secure as well. So you kind of want to look for those types of things. One of the other things to look out for with those charities that may not necessarily be legitimate charities is, do they want it right now? I mean, the answer should be no. I mean, if a solicitor is pressuring you for a donation, if someone calls you on the phone and is asking you to do a nice thing, but you have to donate now, well, then it's not legitimate. It's probably some sort of a scam. So take the time to check on a charity and don't just give. I know people are kind and they want to help, but you don't, when someone knocks on your door and gives you a sob story, you don't just hand over the money. Make sure you check all those things out. You know, you can search the internet or even perhaps request written information from that charity. Any legitimate charity will respond to your request. So ask how much of your donation actually goes to helping others and how much actually goes to pay for administrative costs and things like that. And then finally, while most charities will seek money, you don't want to pay in cash normally. That's kind of the way things go. You see that all the time with different Red Cross efforts and stuff too. People sometimes want to donate things, bottled water, toiletries. Remember after Hurricane Katrina, there were tons and tons of donations to help those folks down there. Folks wanted to donate things like clothing and like I say, bottled water, toiletries, all kinds of different things that they thought would help out. But, quite frankly, that creates a lot of logistical headaches for the organization because they have to transport those things there. Now you're going to take some of the money that you got in donations to pay for transporting and stuff. And it's difficult to get it to the people that you think you're helping in that particular case because a lot of those people weren't there anymore. They were gone somewhere else. But if you can, oftentimes what they'd rather have is just the money because money is easy to transport. You can wire it from place to place. It can be sent very easily. And then they can use it to purchase the things they actually need when they need them. So you cut out a lot of those other costs. But the key is, as they say, don't pay in cash. Pay by check or credit card on a secure website. And that'll also help you keep records for security and for tax purposes as well. Food, clothing, and relief supplies are much more difficult to distribute. And as I mentioned earlier, it can actually hinder the relief efforts. So many times they would prefer to have those cash types of donations. So it's not the worst thing in the world to be a generous person. In fact, it's a noble thing to do, to want to help those in need. But make sure that you're doing it in a way that you don't put yourself in a bad position as well. Boy, there are a lot of folks out there in every industry, it seems like, looking to separate you from your money. Be vigilant. I want to turn things back over to Brett so he can tell us more this morning about Camblin Plumbing and Heating. Brett?
A Lennox air-to-air heat pump could be your best friend in the coming winter. It's warm, eco-friendly, doesn't make hardly any noise, and could be very cool during the summer months. On top of that, it will work very hard to save you many dollars in energy costs. Camblin Plumbing and Heating are pros at installing an air-to-air heat pump, and in most situations, we can adapt one of these state-of-the-art units using your present furnace. With 7 different models to choose from, we can help you get just the right unit to fit your needs and budgets. With the best warranties, competitive pricing, and quality that we have all come to respect, Lennox air-to-air heat pumps are the best bet for investing your money and getting a good return. Give us a call in Atlantic at 243-1512 or in Harlan at 755-3286. The thought of the day goes back a long ways today, Jim. This is from Benjamin Franklin. It says, beware of little expenses. A small leak can sink a great ship.
Very good. We were just joking about him the other day in the office. I said, look around sometime. How many people wear contact lenses or glasses? What did they do before Ben Franklin? Did everybody just walk around bumping into things? Seems like everybody's wearing corrective lenses. Thanks a lot, Brett. Appreciate it very much. Hey, you go out, make it a great day, and God bless America.